Yes, dear Father, once again, we want to thank and praise you. You are the living God and you are the Almighty God. You're the God of all the churches. So do be gracious to us. We bring all the churches and all the saints before you. Do be gracious to us and also have mercy on us. And once again, do speak to your churches again. May your Holy Spirit anoint each one of us so that your word can enter into our hearts. That you are amongst us, that we can accomplish your will and glorify the Father's name.
好，感谢主。
Thank the Lord. Is there any problem with the English translation? Can you hear me?
Yeah. The English translation is okay.
Okay.
English translation is good.
Yes.
Okay. The English channel.
Yeah. We hear you.
Okay. English is working properly again. The English channel.
也可以啊。
打进 okay 吗？
好，感谢主。
Praise the Lord. Let's continue to fellowship with two other churches. That's the church in Smyrna and also the church in Philadelphia. Among the seven churches, there are two churches that really please the Lord. So today, if we want to please the Lord, we need to know what kind of a church we should be. The first church, that's the church in Smyrna. We all know that that is the suffering church. Our Lord Jesus went through so much suffering in his entire life when he came to this earth. Once he was born, he started to suffer, right? I think we all appreciate Isaiah chapter 53, how it's so clearly described. The Lord Jesus came to this earth in order to suffer for us. So suffering should be part of our being a Christian. It should be our portion. It's not only that the Lord Jesus needs to suffer. All his apostles went through tribulations in order to reach the goal. Every disciple went through all kinds of tribulations. They all had to deny themselves. They all became martyrs. They were all killed. Not one did not go through such difficulties. And as his church today, we're living here on this earth, it's not possible for us not to go through sufferings. Our Lord, our Master, went through tribulations and sufferings to reach his glory. And the path to glory The path to glory is not without suffering. It's impossible to go on this path without suffering. The Bible tells us this very clearly. Our Lord Jesus went through the suffering of the cross to enter into the glory. How about us? Do we have any other way to go? You tell me. Do we have a better way to go? Without going through sufferings, without going through difficulties, without going through persecution, without going through all kinds of tribulations, it would be strange if we could enter into glory. Hebrews chapter 12 also tells us that our Lord Jesus went through the sufferings and entered into glory. Do we have any other choice? We all like to enter into glory, right? But there's only one way to go. The Bible does not give us another way for us to go. This path is already placed in front of us. It's very clear. But if we're not willing to go through it with it, then what should we do? We're not willing to suffer. It's okay for others to suffer, but I don't want to suffer. It's okay for you to suffer, but I can't suffer. I don't want to suffer. We're all like this. Who likes to suffer? I think we people are all like this. We want to go through a very comfortable life and enter into glory. I'd like to ask you, in all these years of the church life, have you ever suffered? Are you willing to suffer? Or are you not willing to suffer? When you're serving together, are you willing to suffer? During the conference, there's a lot of services, and no one wants to suffer. Isn't this the case? I've seen this many times. Everybody likes to be the head. Everybody wants to be there being the leader and not willing to follow other people's order. Very stubborn. Whatever you like to do, you just go ahead and do it. And everybody has to listen to me. Even among the sisters, they're arguing and fighting. Tell me, what should we do? What should we do? We're not willing to suffer. How can we enter into glory? This is an impossibility. Our Our Lord Jesus gave us a very good example. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us this. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. What does chapter 2 tell us? Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. The Lord Jesus not only suffered himself, but he did it to leave us an example. What example? An example of suffering. This is the path for which we were called. We're all called ones. We're called to enter into glory. Because Christ in us has become the hope of glory. But we never thought that the way to glory that Christ wants to bring us through is through suffering. This is the good example he left us. Do you have such a concept, brothers? Do we want to be like him? Do we want to be like him in his sufferings? This is the example that Christ's life on this earth showed us. He went through all types of sufferings. He was suffering every day. He was persecuted by religion. He was rejected by man. Even his own disciples sometimes gave him a lot of problems. They didn't understand what he was saying. Even his family members did not believe in him. And some wanted to kill him. All kinds of difficulties. People did not believe in him. And in the end, they even sold him out. Even his own disciple sold him out. And eventually he was nailed to the cross. From the time of his birth all the way to his death, it was a way of suffering. We think that he deserved to suffer, or he had to suffer, but we don't need to suffer. It was okay for him to suffer because he suffered in order to save us, but we don't need to suffer. It's enough for him to suffer for me. I receive the blessings not the suffering. Right? His is a cup of suffering and ours is a cup of blessing. That's good enough. Right? Brother Kiat, is that right? Oh, since he suffered for you, then you don't have to suffer. Right? He drank the cup of suffering and we take the cup of blessing. We sing the song. We love to sing the song. We like to sing the hymn. Here's the cup of suffering. Mine the cup of blessing. Isn't that great? Thine the cup of suffering. Mine the cup of blessing. That's really good. Tell me, sometimes I think, is it right for us to sing it this way? He suffered so that I don't have to suffer. Wrong. That's wrong. He left us an example of suffering. The church should be the church that is willing to suffer, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples cannot be higher than the master. Since our master was persecuted and rejected, we also should be the same. That is why Peter really said it right. He spoke of the suffering of our Lord Jesus. He said he witnessed the Lord Jesus' suffering and how he reached his glory. They were witnesses of how our Lord Jesus suffered. That is why this word of his is very precious. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Suffering is spoken in a general way, but his steps, those are small steps, one by one. That's a daily suffering. It's not that you suffer, have a great suffering all at once, but it goes step by step in very small steps. Are you willing to do that? You suffer in the small things. Take a couple of steps, you suffer. And then you go a couple more steps further and you suffer again. And tomorrow, a little more suffering. Every day is suffering. Suffering in each step. It's not simple at all. In matters great and small, step by step, you follow in his steps.
This
This is the blessing we received as Christians. Are you willing to do so? The Lord Jesus is such an example to us. He did not sin. There was no sin in him, nor was deceit found in his mouth. We're not the same. We committed a lot of sins, and yet are not willing to suffer. And there's a lot of deceit in our mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. We don't just revile in return, but we open our mouths to scold. If people scold you and you don't answer back, it's not easy. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. This is a way of suffering. This is following his footsteps in the way of suffering. When you're coordinating with one another, you don't agree on this and you don't agree on that, and you start arguing, fighting. Where is the suffering? Right? You're not willing to accept the opinion of others. Perhaps your opinion might be better, or maybe not so good, but what does it matter? To accept is better than fighting. If you're willing to accept others' opinion, then you're suffering. That's even better, because you believe in God's blessing. You have to remember, the Lord's blessing does not depend on whether your opinion is of great value or not. As long as he blesses, it's good enough. Whether it's great and marvelous, it doesn't matter. Because our Lord is able to bless something that is not so right, but as long as he blesses, then everything is fine. What if I'm right? But if he doesn't bless, it's useless that I am right. But if I'm willing to accept others, and the Lord blesses it, isn't that great? Why do you have to fight? Why do you have to speak threatening words? Why are you not willing to suffer? The Lord Jesus is not like that. He is willing to suffer. Others threaten him, yet he did not threaten in return. People scold him, yet he did not answer back. Sometimes if your wife says one thing, one word, then you would retort with three words. She says one sentence and you says three sentences. We are like that. You like to debate and fight. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. Are we willing to do that? Thank and praise the Lord. I'm gradually learning a little bit. People say a lot of things, and the Lord tells me, don't say anything. Don't answer back. Just let them scold. It doesn't matter. In the end, the Lord blesses. It's really like this. If we want to learn to suffer, then we need to commit everything to Him who judges righteously. Otherwise, you actually don't understand how to suffer. Look at our Lord Jesus standing before Pilate, Pontius Pilate. He didn't say a thing. It's not that he had nothing to say. I think if he wanted to say something, he had lots to say. Yet he didn't say a word. He just accepted it as is. He's blessed. And there's glory. You know what did Peter say in chapter 4? He said that if we suffer for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus, First Peter 4:14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. It's a Spirit of glory. The Holy Spirit would rest upon you. Tell me, isn't this glorious? Let's take a look at chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. It's stated very clearly here. In 4:13, it says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Because you partake of Christ's sufferings. Then that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Isn't this word good, Brother Virat? Very good. It's very good. Who doesn't want this? You want to answer back or you want to gain the glory? You make the choice. If you answer back, you won't get the glory. But if you're willing to partake of Christ's suffering, then the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon you. What do you want? Right, Kia, what do you want? What do we want? Brothers, what is your choice, brothers? Sisters, what's your choice? Or choose to fight? Or do you choose to gain the glory? You can decide. So if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is too glorious. Do you agree? Amen. Yuan Xian, do you agree? Of course, we all would agree, right? So you see, to suffer is so important. Are you willing to be the church in Smyrna? It's a church of Smyrna in Bangkok. Brother De Hua, doesn't this sound good? The Lord's church of Smyrna in Bangkok. Wouldn't that be good? Isn't that good? I feel that's really great. If the church in Bangkok is such a church, I would move to Bangkok. To enjoy the blessings of the church in Bangkok. Right? So 1 Peter 4:15 it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. A thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, brothers and sisters, the suffering is God's judgment on us today. This is the positive side. Because such kind of judgment brings us to glory. That's why it says here that judgment begins at the house of God. I'm willing to suffer today and be judged today so that I would gain the glory in the future. That is why God chastens us so that we can partake of his holy nature. That's in Hebrews chapter 12. That's why it's very significant for Peter to be saying this. Don't think that if, when God judges us today, it's not good. It's very good if God would judge us today, so that we can suffer, so that we will receive the reproach of others. It's okay. They think they're very right. You're wrong. That's fine. Thank and praise God. Oh Lord, I'm willing to receive your judgment. Wouldn't that be great? So that we can partake of his glory and of his nature. So brothers and sisters, are you willing to be the church in Smyrna? Have you chosen this church? The Lord said, if you suffer, you will be able to receive the crown of glory. Even if you were killed, you're persecuted, it's okay. Are you willing to become such a church? Would that be okay? Then we have to read chapter 4, verse 1. That's in 1 Peter. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So what are you going to arm yourself with? You know, a fighting tool? Or is it the mind to suffer? You're armed with that mind to suffer? This is a weapon for suffering. Do you want a weapon to fight with? Tell me, which weapon is better that you arm yourselves with?
Which weapon is better, Sharon?
Which weapon is better? A weapon for fighting? Or a mind? The weapon with a mind to suffer?
Which one do you prefer?
Which one do you prefer? Brothers. Do you like the church in Smyrna? That's too good. We all need to be the church in Smyrna. This is ranked as number one. Really so. This is the church that's loved by the Lord. The same as the Lord himself. Too amazing. Nobody thought that the church in Smyrna is so important. He already gained the crown. They already gained the crown.
So, your first choice, right?
This is your first choice, right? The church in Smyrna, hallelujah. You made the choice, right? Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's why 1 Peter is really great. The book of Philippians also tell us that we need to have the mind of Christ to humble ourselves, to lower ourselves. Willing to obey and suffer even all the way to the cross. It's only through this that the Lord can bring us into glory. There's no other way. If you want to go another way, you will not get to glory. Amen. Surasit, brother. Hallelujah.
It's good to see you again, Surasit. It's been a long time.
It's good to see the brother Surasit again. Haven't seen him for a long time. Thank the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, this is a way that we need to go. This is a path that we need to take. Let's take a look at one other verse. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14,
22.
See how what Paul says. Acts 14:22-23. I'll ask Brother Vera to read it. Chapter 14:22-23. We'll read it in Thai. Yeah, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and say, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Amen. How did Paul strengthen the hearts or the souls of the disciples? And exhorted them to continue in the faith, to hold on to this faith. And he also said, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. There's no other way. Do you have another way? There's no other way. If we do not go through sufferings, there's no way to enter into glory. This is normal. Other paths, other ways are not normal. Praise the Lord. Praise and thank the Lord. After going through the past 60 years, through God's mercy, He also allowed us to go through some difficult situations. But we have to continue to go through the difficulties. It's good if others reject you. Do you want people to welcome you or do you want people to reject you? Our Lord Jesus was never welcomed by anybody. But we like others to welcome us. If people don't welcome you, then you're not happy. You're not happy. Are you being rejected? Are you being welcomed? So I hope that the Lord will continue to lead us.
So
if the Lord Jesus is our example, the apostles are also our examples. They're all the same. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. It was the same with the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. Now, let's take a look at the second church that was praised by the Lord. That's the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia. This church is quite good, right? Do you like this church? The church in Philadelphia. It's a bit complicated. It's not so single or simple as the church in Smyrna. Regarding the church in Smyrna, it was just a few verses. To suffer, to be killed, and you enter into glory. That's very brief. It's very short and very quick. It's so simple. I think it's quite good. But for the church in Philadelphia, there are quite a few verses. First, it mentions that our Lord Jesus, he has the key of David. Let's read it. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, to the church in Philadelphia. The Lord Jesus said, he who is holy, he who is true, says, the church in Philadelphia must have been holy, so, because holiness is very important. You know that in the book of Ephesians, the Lord Jesus said he wanted to have a holy church without spots or wrinkle, a glorious church. The Lord revealed himself as the Holy One, as the true one. The church has to be holy. And also the church has to be holy and it has to be true. You must have the real thing. It's not just empty words. It's not empty talk. You have to have some real stuff. It's a real thing. Otherwise, it's just empty words. It's useless. Today, we oftentimes encourage the brothers and sisters to say that we need the reality. We may have a lot of knowledge, but we do not have the substance, the reality. That's useless. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us faith needs the substance, the reality. You have to have the real thing for people to see. Otherwise, we're empty, useless. Here it says, Christ is the one who holds the key of David. He holds the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. If you want to know such a Christ, then you have to go back to Isaiah chapter 22. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22 speaks of two people. And verse 15, in 15, he talks about Shebna. Shebna. Shebna used to be a steward. He was one of the leaders in the house of David. He was in charge of the finances. He oversaw the house of David, but he was not faithful. If a steward of a house is not faithful, is that good? Just like in the churches today, if the elders are not faithful, tell me, is that good? So that's why in the book of Isaiah, it shows us first there is Shebna. Shebna is not faithful. If you're not faithful, you just care for your own position. Besides, you also take advantage of God and you take advantage of the church. If you're a steward and you're not faithful, you're actually stealing from God. You take God's house and consider it as your own house. Tell me, then what? So here in verse 16, God said, what have you here? What are you doing here? And whom have you here? That you have hewn a sepulchre here. You've hewn a sepulchre here, as he who hews himself a sepulchre on high, who carves a tomb for himself in a rock. Right, have you read this? Shebna was messing around there. Actually, whatever he did, he was just building up his own tomb.
Oh,
You don't think that you're in God's house and you're doing this and doing that, and actually you're building a tomb for yourself. What do you think you're building? You're building your tomb, your sepulcher. It's quite meaningful. You think you take advantage of this and take advantage of someone? You think you're quite great and you're quite successful? And the Lord would say to you, what are you doing here? You're building your own tomb, your own grave. In the end, who is going to be lying in this grave? What exactly are you building? Everybody thinks, oh, you're doing a great thing. You're building this and building that. What are you actually doing? You're digging your own grave. Are you willing to be such a steward? That is why it's not simple here. If there's such a steward in the church in Philadelphia, that will not work at all. Indeed, the Lord will throw you away valiantly, O mighty man, and will surely seize you. It's just throw you out. It's like a package, just throw you out. The Lord will roll you into a ball and kick you away. Aren't you afraid of that? So don't be Shebna. Like in verse 18, it says, he will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball into a large country. It's not good to be a Shebna. He will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball into a large country. Throw you into a broad place like a ball. This description is not bad. You're the shame of your master's house. You're the shame of your master's house. There you shall die, and there your glorious chariots shall be the shame of your master's house. This is your glorious chariot. Where is the glory? It's your glory. It's your own glory. Don't think that the Lord won't kick you away. If not today, maybe tomorrow. If it's not this month, it may be next month. Sooner or later, you'll be kicked away. You think that God would not do this? And then it goes on to say, so I will drive you out of your office. I will drive you out. And from your positions, he will pull you down. Are you not afraid? Don't you think that the Lord would do this? You don't think that the Lord would do this? If you're in the church in Philadelphia, the Lord would do this. But if you're not the church in Philadelphia, the Lord won't even bother to do this. The Lord would just let you go. But if you want to be the church in Philadelphia, the Lord would kick Shebner out. Do you want to be Philadelphia? If you want to be Philadelphia, the Lord said, I'll kick Shebner out. And then in verse 20, it says, then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. That is the Lord Jesus himself. Because only the Lord Jesus is the most faithful steward over God's house. Do you remember? Hebrews chapter
3.
The Lord said that Moses, he's the most faithful steward. He is the most faithful steward in God's house. We are in God's house. He is the Eliakim that God raised up. This name Eliakim is what God raised up. That I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe. We take away Shebna's robe and clothe it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank and praise the Lord. That's why in Philadelphia, if you don't have this Eliakim, it doesn't work. Our Lord Jesus is a true Eliakim. And he would strengthen him with your belt. And I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open, and no one shall shut. And he shall shut, and no one shall open. Hallelujah. Do you want to be Philadelphia? Then you need to have this Eliakim. Everything else won't work. Everything else would be just like Shebna. Building or digging our own grave. Do you truly want to be Philadelphia? Then you have to invite this Eliakim in and let him take over the full responsibility. He's the only faithful one, the only one with the authority. He's the only one with the key of David. And he has the authority over all things. And he is also managing and in charge of all things. If we are taking charge, I don't care who takes charge. We can't not do a good job. Only when he is in charge, then everything will be fine. And I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place. This peg is a very big peg because all responsibility is hanging on him alone. No one has this great strength. Sometimes I have to bear a little bit of responsibility. I can't even bear it. Can you bear it? Who is able to bear it? It's just a little bit of responsibility, and I cannot even do a good job. Are you reliable? Am I? I'm not reliable. Not trustworthy. So I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. This Jesus Christ, this Eliakim, only he is qualified to be seated on the throne, and the church is his kingdom. They will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the posterity. Isn't that a great thing? Vero, do you know this Eliakim? If you want to be Philadelphia, you need to have this Eliakim. Otherwise, it will not work. Have you ever seen this Eliakim? That's why it's not simple. It's not simple. Do you really want to be Philadelphia? Oh, thank and praise the Lord. Everything is hanging on him. All vessels of small quantity, from the cups to all the pitchers, they're all hanging on him. And in that day, the peg that is fastened in the secure place will be removed and be cut down and fall. It won't work if that peg is not removed. Without the peg being removed, then you can't have the church in Philadelphia. Thank and praise the Lord. Do we really want to be Philadelphia? Alone, this point would suffice for us to be the church in Philadelphia. That would fully be sufficient. All things are exactly according to his will. He opens and no one can shut. And he shuts and no one shall open. Wouldn't it be great to have such a one? So that's why, thank and praise the Lord. When I speak of this point, I cannot continue anymore because this point is already good enough. It's fully sufficient. If you see such a Christ in the church in Philadelphia, what would be impossible to do? Don't you desire to have such a one? I have to tell the Lord, you don't need to kick me away. I'll just step down myself. I won't wait for you to kick me away. I'll just step down myself. So may the Lord open our eyes to get to know and be the church in Philadelphia. It's only in this way that we can love the brothers. If this Lord is among us, then we can love, have the brotherly love. Otherwise, it would be totally impossible. Shebna doesn't know how to love the brothers. He just loves his own grave. There's no way for him to love the brothers. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Let's take another look at the church in Philadelphia. I don't think I can be thorough enough today. But if we have such a Christ among us, we won't need a great strength. If Eliakim is among us, would I still need great strength? Be strong? If he shuts, no one else can open anymore. And if he opens, no one can shut. Then you just have to truly trust and rely on in him. Rely on him. If your trust is in your own strength, can you do the work? Zechariah chapter 4 says, to build the golden lampstand, you don't need man's power, you don't need man's ability. You only need the Spirit of God, and it will be done. When I was young, I thought, always thought, oh, I have to be strong. I want to be have to be strong. Now I feel it's best if I can do nothing at all. If I'm not capable at all, then I can fully trust in him. What can I do relying on myself? I tell the Lord, I cannot do a thing. And I am nothing. And I know nothing. Isn't that a good thing? If that's the case, then the Lord would say, okay, let me do it. Let me come and do it. And Zechariah 4 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. If you say, oh, I can do it. Let me do it. I can do it. If I butt in and do the work, then he'll be gone. That is why Paul said he had learned. He is not boasting in his power, but he boasts in his weakness. We boast in our own ability. But Paul boasts in his weakness. Do you want to be Philadelphia? Is it easy? Do you want to lose all your strength? And to be without anything at all? And to be finished? So thank and praise the Lord. So we'll stop right here today. Tonight you have to dream about Eliakim.
Otherwise, the
Lord would turn you into a ball like Shebna and kick you off to the moon.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for his word. The Lord's word is truly very meaningful. May we really go practice his word and mingle his word with faith so that we can become the church in Philadelphia and also become the church of Smyrna. These two churches should actually be the two aspects of one church. Amen. Praise the Lord. May he have mercy on us.